Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today in the studio is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Holla back!
He's trying some new intros, everybody.
I like it.
So on today's show, we're going to be talking about Raid Layers. That's the thing that's got everybody chattering. We're also going to be talking about the Curse of Osiris preview that I wrote and the footage that everybody else saw to get their impressions. And Fran, you want to talk about our giveaway?
Yes, we have a sweepstakes going. So just check the link that I'm leaving in the comment. It's just easier to look at the link, but all you have to do is follow us on YouTube and leave a mandatory comment with hashtag sweepstakes in the video that is linked, not this video. Again, just follow the instructions. It's a Gleam link, but we are giving away a collector's edition for the PC version of Destiny 2, the PS4, and Xbox One. It's random, so you're going to get one of those versions, but we'll announce the winner next week. Be sure to get in there. It's going to be good for somebody.
Definitely. So, guys, Raid Layers. What do you guys think about the big news from Bungie that we are getting new raid content? They finally explained it.
That's what
it
meant.
And it is, you go into the raid and you go into a different door. And according to Bungie, they say it will have, where is it? My notes here. An entirely new set of encounters, puzzles, loot, and places to explore, as well as a brand new final boss. CJ, I normally don't let you talk, so we'll begin with you.
Oh, perfect. Thanks. Thanks again. If anything, I kind of saw that coming in a way, because when you first got into the Leviathan and you saw it was doors, once it changed week to week, I was like, oh, this is interesting. They've never done this before. This doesn't surprise me that much. Like, we were renewing, or we thought it was something. They said it kind of odd. You know, it's not new raid content. What do they say again? How are they describing it?
Raid content. And then what the way they said, it's a new 6-player raid activity. There's an entirely new set of encounters, puzzles, loot, places to explore, brand new final boss. Door opens at the beginning, basically. It starts at 310. Or sorry, guided games are 310. The regular is 300. And we know that the soft max is 330 and 335 with mods.
But there was some language.
Not as long as Leviathan either.
Yeah, and not as long as Leviathan. But I mean, yeah, I'm not surprised that it's some kind of tweak to Leviathan, actually, rather than a completely exclusive new raid. Yeah. And I mean, as far as that goes, I'm not bummed. I mean, I'm not.
The area is going to be new, so be careful with how you phrase that, because the area will be new. You're going to fight something new down there. It's not just going to be like the same content that we've experienced.
Right, and I understand that, but there's something to be said when you have a complete new world and a new space, and you know, there's a bunch of different enemies. So,
like a new game with new balance, new trials, new tokens.
You go in there and it's Trials of
Osiris. That's what you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, no, but yeah, so I'm still excited that there is some new content. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wasn't sure, but it doesn't surprise me that it is a little tweak, per se, to this version of the raid.
All right. Sean, what do you think?
In terms of the spectrum of whether I'm like really, really ecstatic or like super disappointed, I'm going to say I fall somewhere in the middle. I enjoy that this is a new encounter. There's a new boss. There's new weapons and stuff. And it's great that I think we're going to be doing new mechanics, new activities. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bug me so much that it's in the same location, but a different part of the ship. So yeah. It'll be like, you know, same, you'll still be fighting Cabal and you'll still be, you know, kind of, you know, probably in similar looking locations, but not fighting the same enemies and not fighting the same boss. That is cool to me. Mm. I would have been, you know, I said it on the previous show, I would have been way more disappointed if this was like a remastered old raid, and this is not what it is. So I'm happy because of that.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Fran?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was surprised to hear that there's, I don't know if is entirely their word, entirely new set of encounters, puzzles, loot,
so they said,
and places to explore. Entirely. I was surprised that it wasn't.
You go through a door that you've never gone through before, and the area, like, you only see the edges. They don't actually go into it. They let the door open, and then they just sit
right
there.
But encounters, puzzles, loot, and places. So the fact that there's new places to see, like Leviathan is a cool theme, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty surprised and I like the idea. I'm fine staying in that world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, last time around, we got baths, we got dogs.
Ship,
it's huge.
They brought up multiple times how big the ship is, and like there's lots of places to explore that we haven't seen.
Yeah, so it's going to be just like a whole new wing of Leviathan.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right, yeah. But the Dreadnought then. It's the same concept. But the point is there's these new areas, and like last time we got baths, dogs, and the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And those were all very individual with individual objectives. So if we even get, knowing that it's not as long, if we even just get like a couple rooms that are all brand new, some new loot that hopefully is good and not more of the same of, it seems the same as everything, and a new boss, like I think that's pretty good. I don't mind staying in Leviathan, but that is the real question. How much content that's new is there versus if you get in and it's like, well, they're dogs in a new room, but they're bigger this time.
I don't think that's what it will be.
Speculation is like, I think it's going to be
a boars now.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be about a Crota-sized raid where, like, once you know the mechanics and
it'll be like
the
hour.
Boss, yeah, maybe like 30 minutes to an hour. And I think that's basically what it'll be like too. Like you have one challenge, another activity, and then a puzzle, and then the boss, the way Crota's set up.
So I like it. Yeah, I would have been interested to see a new world, like seeing a lot of people wanted Venus.
Oh, I mean, let's be clear. Everyone wanted just a whole new raid.
Yeah.
That was never going to happen. And we would have been the most happy, 100% happy. And instead we're what, like 65% happy?
I don't know if I'm happy. I'm totally reserving judgment until I actually get to play the experience. So now we're just kind of guessing based off of what they've told us. So it's shorter. Hopefully it clocks in like an hour. It'll be kind of nice to go into a raid setting and just be able to get out of there quick. I'm just kind of reserving my expectations. I'm struggling with Destiny 2 right now because of just the systems that are kind of in place. I don't like the slot machine system.
Yeah.
Like, it really is diminishing my excitement to play any of the encounters. It's like, oh, God, I got my tokens. Go put them in the slot machine.
Yep.
And, like, I'm glad the live team is working on some stuff, but I really want to see what changes are going to come with this expansion.
With the Dawning, with Season 2,
yeah.
which we still don't know when it launches, do we? Speculatively on December 5th alongside is when I would
expect
it.
That would be weird. They'll probably stagger it out to like the 15th or something.
So this,
You're talking about like all the changes they've proposed? Yeah. I mean, there's been no timeline for any of that stuff. Some of it was 2000.
But we know what we know. Yeah. We know but Season 2 is coming. Like, we know we're on our last Iron Banner this month, which I know Destin's getting to still.
Yes.
But we know that Curse of Osiris is coming out, and we know that the Dawning is a winter event that tends to come before the holidays. So we're – either it will be the 5th with everything, or it will be later in that month, like a week or two after.
I found it interesting for the Iron Banner promo. It's November 21st at 1 a.m. to November 28th at 1 a.m. I found it really interesting that they said this is your last chance to get the emblem. They didn't mention the armor set, so maybe you can still acquire the armor sets in future Iron Banners, which would be great because a lot of us didn't get the full set.
No, they made it sound like it was Season 1 Iron Banner gear.
They did.
That would be – they made it sound like. Away. Now, I don't know if anybody got absolute confirmation, but the idea was that what was coming with the Dawning, which is, again, is a winter event, would be new armor, new banner, well, just the new season, but they'll have the ornaments and it'll be different.
It's going to be really interesting. Part of me hopes – I just hope there's other ways to acquire the old sets.
Yes.
But often, like, they did that in Destiny 1. They're like, nope, all that old stuff's gone. You have new stuff to acquire. But then they have to fix the vault space issue.
Silver.
Yeah.
Yeah, in some way.
But and they did that. They did that with Trials Gear. Never. They did that with Iron Banner Gear. You had the ability to get it later on.
Yeah.
Of course.
Way later.
Way later. Yeah. Everything in Destiny, you know, you always want it once they take it away. So hopefully, yeah, there is an activity where they bring it back.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts about raid layers?
I was actually a little surprised, only in the spirit of, like, I wasn't optimistic, just from playing Destiny for so long. The updates are not always huge. I wanted to be optimistic, but I, like you, being a little down on how the systems work, and we're waiting to hear how much work and what's going into those changes. But I'm surprised. Like, there's a new boss. Like, depending on how cool that new boss is, what if you enjoy that encounter more than Kallus? And Kallus is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the raid. I have no problem going back to it. I mean, I think all of us would agree, if the drop system was better and the weapon balance there was more rare and better, I think we would all really enjoy going back to that raid.
I mean, I half disagree, because the reason I want to go back to the raid, like, I enjoy it too. I 100% agree with you there. But the part I don't disagree with is, like, it has to still give me something to earn and progress.
Well, that's what I was saying, right? And
there is new stuff to get.
That's And that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, in terms of raid layers, I'm happy that we're getting something new. I'm happy that there is some new progression for us to get to go through, you know, a higher light level, more weapons and gear to do, and new things to do.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if it is as long as we think it's going to be, like a Crota-sized thing.
Yeah.
Is that enough content to get us to the next big thing, which is when Rasputin. Do we don't even know, right?
I think it'll get us spring. To the dawning, and then I think Rasputin will be spring.
Yeah, so that's my thing. My concern right now is that it's not enough for another 3 months of content.
I'm surprised to hear you, Destin, talking about the dawning like it may not happen this year. Yeah, like
it's certainly a possibility. December 15th.
Yeah, like dawning. 10 days later. Why stagger that?
Because why have it released on Curse of Osiris? Yeah.
Yeah. Why compete with your reveals?
But I'm going to be stuck with the same system and problems with a new content release. That seems very risky.
Welcome to Destiny.
Yeah, I know. But logically, wouldn't it make more sense?
I think the world changes that they're going to make will happen on the 5th. I think the dawning stuff will happen late.
What happens if it happens
like
before?
Like the dawning event.
Oh, world. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're right. I'm making an assumption that they would no, well, here's why. Mm-hmm. Dawning, I had understood, was the Okay, you're right. Season 2 is coming. Yeah. Season 2 means they'll have a big patch.
Yeah.
So maybe season 2 starts.
Right before launch, I guess.
Maybe season 2 starts exactly right there, because they tend to test the new stuff before that hits.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe it's coming a few days before, but you're right. Dawning is the event that is part of season 2.
Yeah.
Haven't they done that before, like with Taken King?
So you're right.
But hang
on. They changed up all the balance and stuff right before, like a week before Taken King.
They did.
Came out.
A weekend.
And there's no guarantee that these things get fixed. There's no timeline on that. Like, I want you to be clear on changes. So,
they said they're going to do a big change with every
season.
Season, yeah.
Yes. So
that's when they're doing their patches. I think they said 4 years, right? 4 seasons.
Right now, they have 4 planned. So 4 seasons.
So here's the question, because I think this is what you're alluding to. It's like, if the end game didn't change, would we be excited about this raid? And I think the answer overwhelmingly is no. And that's crazy to think.
I would be excited about the raid.
Well, yes.
I don't know what it is, so I don't want to pass judgment on it, so I'll give it a chance.
That's fair. I'm not but my point is, like, so how many times have you done this raid? Like, I love this raid. Well, okay, you've done it like the
You're
raid,
talking like
Kallus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so my point is
zero.
Sorry.
He thought you meant
the Kallus raid.
The raid layers.
Yeah.
And so that's
he's never played the game.
Yeah. We're all
like, secrets out, everybody. The host of the show.
Raid but I'm that's kidding. To me the issue. It's like, even with the new raid, if the old system is in place, we're all gonna feel the same way about whatever
Guns
content comes out. Yeah, regarding. I'm not like dismissing any new content. I'm excited, but we'd be all there, I think, within about a week or two.
All right, that's a great segue for me. So I actually got to play Curse of Osiris a little bit ahead of everybody. We went to a preview event. My preview is live. Did all you guys check it out?
Yep. Yeah. Had to.
Yeah. So my Curse of Osiris impressions for the story weren't glowing. And
It was good, though.
It was disappointing for me. Basically, my problem with it is everything operates in a bubble with Destiny DLC packs.
Right.
And this felt very much similar in that we're going to do all the grinding. We're going to get to 335, and then we're just going to wait for the next content patch, and we'll never have any reason to revisit Osiris, the Osiris DLC, or anything again.
Right. You wanted Taken King, where the rest of the world
there were dramatic world
changes.
Impacts. Like, Taken are wandering around. Like, things changed, and it was interesting to have More stuff on all the destinations. Now, we only got to play through the campaign, then they're like, hands off the controller, basically. So once we beat that, we weren't allowed to like go exploring any more than that. So here's some notes. So for strikes, we are getting 270 heroic strikes. They revealed that on the stream. Mercury is an explorable destination. There's 8 campaign story missions, 5 which took place on Mercury, 3 on the planets that exist already. There's new weapons and gear to obtain from Brother Vance. And during their stream, they said there's trees or the pillars in the background. Yeah. There's the deep past, lush garden Venus, they described it as. There's the present, and there's the dark future.
So just a point of clarification, like you were just saying, oh, I don't have a reason to go visit the other places, but there are 3 missions on side planets. Did you not get to play those?
Those aren't side planets. They are Mercury, and then Mercury, you go through a gate, and then you can go to different periods of time, past, present, future.
On Mercury?
They're all on Mercury, yeah.
Oh.
And that was revealed during their live stream yesterday. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah. I'm under embargo, so I can't say everything, so I have to be a little careful here. I'll just be honest.
Okay.
But yeah.
No, but seriously, what happens?
the story to me felt flat. That's what I am allowed to talk about this week, basically my campaign.
Which is such a bummer for me to hear because, yeah. Like, I said it before when they first announced that Curse of Osiris and was the thing and they dropped the cinematic and all that. Like, Legendary Guardians, the lore is such a big draw for me when it comes to Destiny. Yeah. And seeing that fleshed out and kind of, like, focused on the way it was in Taken King is such a, like... That's like a really that's something I want personally.
Well, let me tell you this, Sean. There's going to be moments that you're really going to like during the campaign, right? And there's some encounters that I really, really enjoyed. You'll see my impressions next week, basically, about that stuff. But yeah, just the overall narrative. It's
And this is kind of a thing
from the bubble strategy of operating in closed off deal content.
It just never seems to me like Bungie has quite nailed like what narrative should be in Destiny. Like I think the closest they've come is Taken King, and I think Taken King is actually a great narrative, like from a storytelling perspective.
Yeah,
I wish that this did the same thing. Like even Rise of Iron, I thought like had moments where I was like, oh my gosh, this could have been so cool, and then the fact that it's not. Even like bums me out even more.
Wait,
there's going to be cool moments. Yeah. I think where you will experience that emotion again.
Yeah, even I'm like, I don't know enough about it. Why are you walking away with the impression that what you want's not there? Like, what do you want?
Because I know what I want, and it's amazing. Like, what cinematic, is it? Big storytelling. I said this on the last show.
Quantify it, though. What are you looking for?
Like, I want a 6-hour in-depth campaign where we see Osiris fleshed out, a really awesome conflict that he is drawn into with the Vex that we're not aware of, that we get drawn into as well, that we have to resolve with Osiris by our side. Like, he becomes part of our fire team. I want something like that. Something that feels big and, like, worth $40 or $30.
If John wants it, like, $19.99 for Osiris.
No, dude, like...
It's $34.99 if you get both expansions together.
Yeah.
$35. See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's like, for 2 expansions, though. That's for this one. And the next one, it's $20 standalone.
Yeah. Okay, $20 still. Like, the point is...
And it's 2 to 3 hours.
I'm not a game dev. I don't know what it takes to build these things. But I do know, as a huge fan of Destiny, what I would like to see.
Yeah.
And consistently, they short it, is all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to get a sense of was – sounds like Taken King, which was a more full expansion release. But Rise of Iron was not enough for you, right? And that was the point. Like,
no, but like Rise of Iron, we had a sense that – one, Rise of Iron came at a time where Destiny was in a healthy spot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't as imperative as it is now that they get things like into high gear and give the audience something really powerful and meaningful to look forward to. That said, I felt it was a little – Rise of Iron specifically was a little bit of a wasted opportunity because, like, Lord Saladin to me is one of the coolest characters. Yeah. And I thought that the whole Siva, like, story was going to be this epic, huge thing. Like,
really impactful.
On the side of – you know, because these are Guardians who existed, like, before the Vanguard, like, before any of us or the Tower was around. And, like, that to me should have been – like, that's – they could have mined that story into something super awesome. And instead, it was kind of pedestrian.
Part of the challenge with this is, like, the embargo doesn't let me talk about the stuff I like the most.
And I mean, I wouldn't really want you to tell me anything.
No. Like, you know? I wasn't allowed to experience my favorite part, which is the end game, and, like, see one of those maybe.
Right.
And I wasn't allowed to talk about some of the more interesting things or capture them.
Until after the stream next week, right?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to capture – I was allowed to capture the intro story campaign mission, which you guys can go watch right now. And it's like, yeah, you shoot some Vex and then a thing happens and That's mm-hmm. it. So choose to watch that if you want to be spoiled or not.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, that's my thing is I want, you know, I thought that I've always thought the Vex are the most interesting enemy in Destiny.
Yeah.
And I wanted this DLC to show me a really cool, never before seen conflict that, you know, the premise is that they've been secretly taking over Mercury and gaining ground against us this whole time and we didn't even know.
Yeah.
And now we're drawn into this conflict with a legendary guardian who kind of went rogue, and all of it sounds like this amazing setup for a great story that I already know isn't there. Like, well, that's a bummer.
But wait until you play it at least.
I know, but I know understand your concern, you see what I mean. It's fair, like my expectation is very
Osiris is going to come back to the tower. He'll come down from the rafters on fire. Playing a guitar, be like, I'm back, Zavala.
And his guitar lights on fire like a dawn blade, and then he just starts throwing it at people. And
happening. That's Scott. That is Scott Taylor. Right.
Sorry, that's only for Rise of Iron. Or whenever Scott's, I don't know if he's working on this one. Yeah.
But I thought Rise of Iron at least did a really good job at the momentum still carrying forward. Like, I didn't think Rise of Iron was bad. I don't know. You seem to remember it differently. Archon's Forge was a bunch of
things.
I don't think
it's bad.
Right, but I think like right now,
Archon's Forge was
but I mean, there's a bunch of different things within Rise of Iron that didn't like.
I thought you were saying you loved Archon's Forge.
I didn't love it, but there were some neat things about Rise of Iron that I don't know. wow, salty.
I'm just messing.
No, that's okay. It's interesting because to me, like that was looking back at it now. They introduced a new Crucible mode entirely.
I like Rise of Iron a lot.
Different games, like in maps. So
a raid.
I would have rated it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're expecting that this DLC, I don't even think we're probably, I don't know.
No, but so that's my thing. I'm not expecting Curse of Osiris to be Rise of Iron, but I wished that it was more. That's all I'm saying. Like, I have high expectations because right now Destiny is a game that isn't holding my interest.
I think that's an end game thing, not a content.
Yes,
thing.
And here was the most challenging thing. Here was the most challenging thing during the roundtable. They literally couldn't tell us a single thing about what's being adjusted for the patch, and I'm like,
not one thing.
Like,
yeah,
yeah. I'm like, okay, I know you worked on this campaign, but you're telling me you can't tell me anything about what the live team's patching?
Yeah,
like, doesn't that affect the content that you just built? Yeah, how do you know nothing? Or how can they not talk about anything?
Yeah, well, I think it's part of it is the usual. They're not sure of the things that will absolutely stick by release.
Yeah,
and they're afraid to make that commitment and then have to draw back because it wasn't working. Can I ask you? Actually, you mentioned that it has new bosses. I'm thinking of like
the raid layers.
No. The your preview talked about new bosses,
encounters.
Sorry, whatever. It seemed like
embargo sheet, Fran.
Yeah, I'm literally referring to what
you
wrote.
I can't confirm that there's bosses
or deny.
I'm asking you about the preview that I read on IGN, like
new
anybody
encounters.
Else. You said there's new encounters.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask is, you apparently can't talk about them. You can't talk about them.
Nope.
Because
boss, right? Yeah.
I can't even ask the question. Going to ask about, like, I really like Pyramidion and stuff like that in the strikes, but you can't, so you can't talk about what happened in what you played.
This is a great Fireteam chat.
Man, yeah, it's really challenging because, like, I don't want to say anything that
it's fine. Next week, or 2 weeks from now,
Yeah. I'll call in.
Done.
Yeah, do that.
But there's a stream next week. Yeah. We'll learn more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. There's some stuff that I think you guys will like, and then next week you'll find out why I like it, but there's a negative part to it also, which they did that I don't.
I think it's worth noting that, like, Destin being under embargo and NDA, like, we've also just been very busy. Like, I have no idea what his actual impressions are. I'm not acting here, so it's kind of funny
beyond
to see him frustrated. Like, you know, I'm on the other side here right now.
There's parts I want to praise that I can't, basically.
Yeah, and you said that. The things that sound like they justify some of this, that part didn't look great. There's other things to come that you were excited about, huh?
Yeah, and I think the safest way for me to say it is that there's some cool encounters and moments that are based on lore that you're going to get to experience that you're going to like. And the encounters, oh my God.
It's got encounters. We figured it out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the big question that
really
we all have that you can't answer is regardless of the content, will we want to play the game for longer than a couple months? Because everybody that I talk to and everybody who's playing PvP or PvE or whatever, it's not isolated to it, is fatigued from Destiny 2. And that is kind of incredible when you look at how long we all grinded through Destiny 1.
That doesn't have to do with the amount of content.
I can't talk about that because I never got to play the end game content.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know what happens after the campaign. They let me play through a very specific chunk of the mission, which probably affected my impressions, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the cynic in me thinks that if they had made any significant change to the end game that they liked, they would have told
someone. Well, the thing that they revealed on the stream, they're like, oh, yeah, you can do these adventures and you get a weapon thing. Like, why didn't you let me play that? Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yes.
You know?
But we don't know what that is. Yeah. By the way, I was looking at that very closely. Yeah. There's 12 dots on that star.
Yes.
So that if you didn't get to watch the stream, they walk up to in the new lighthouse social space on Mercury, and they walk up and say, oh, and here there's some glyphs. There was like three of them lit up on this dial, like a sundial, basically. And there's 12 dots, actually, and they talk – they're showing this hand cannon.
They made it sound like you craft the gun.
They said forge was the word. Yeah. They said, so you go out and you forged it from Vex technology. So it looks like there's 12 blended Vex technology weapons that you'll go out on adventures. We think they sort of mentioned
adventures.
Yeah, and collect. I do want to point out
that's
one of those –
improvement to adventures, which is something we've talked about. Yeah. So that's exciting. And I learned all that from
the which adventures? Do you just go and do the old ones and then there's a different –
I think it's the ones on
– Mercury.
Probably.
Yeah, there's probably 12 of them.
Mm-hmm. Which would be super cool if you did those and got weapons or some cool gear. Right.
And it would be even cooler if those adventures were a little bit more robust and told us some story elements and stuff.
We'll see. I don't know that there's 12 adventures, but those points, you might get multiple.
Confirmed, 12 adventures.
Bram broke embargo, everybody. Yeah.
But I do want to point out
what's your inside source, Mirabelle?
No, I do want to point out one of those dots as well had like cable. Power cables coming out of
it. Well, maybe when you finish it, that turns on a super big machine. You get a Galahorn,
and then like they come down from the ceiling and they're like just playing guitar. And
that's sort of where we're at with the story impression. That's all I'm allowed to talk about.
How'd you guys think Mercury looked on what they showed?
Oh, okay. Dude, visually, knocked that out of the park again. Their team, like the skyboxes and the new enemy design.
Their art has always been so strong.
Fantastic.
Seeing the outside of the lighthouse, I thought that was super cool. You always looked at it from the point of walking up to a treasure. Now it's like, they said, you can't fall to your death anymore. They've changed a couple things inside. But when they walk outside, you get a chance to see, the landscape. And then you look back at the lighthouse and it physically looks like a lighthouse. I thought that was really cool, actually.
I feel bad for all the houses that are no longer there. They're just gone. Damn Vex. Remember the Lighthouse houses. From Destiny 1?
Yeah. But it's like there was a bunch of other areas. I don't know how much you saw of it. Did it look like – because when you walked up to the Lighthouse, there was like parts that were like – it looks like those Vex inside of it, like blocking areas. You know what I mean? Like there's a little like white grid that you'd not
in the
be able
original?
To get into. In the original.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. Did they
– That's not in this one.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. Yeah. If it was an adapted version of the Lighthouse, obviously.
Also, if Guardians are checking into the Lighthouse like once a week, like – how did this whole Vex invasion happen? Like right under our noses.
Oh yeah.
Were we just very focused on the Cabal? And
well, but wait, remember
they did a wage of war with the Cabal.
That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, like
whether we wanted it or not, Sean.
Terrible. Deej already did that joke during the live stream.
Deej does that joke all the time now, and I love it. But wait, remember when the Vex show up, they're just like time gate, then they invade. Like it's not like you can really prepare for that.
But I mean, he's like,
did you watch the gameplay? What do you think of the new Vex design?
I mean, it looks really cool. Like I said, the art and Bungie's design, like world design and like level design and like items, gear, all that has always been like the strong, minus the actual gameplay, has always been really strong. Cool. Yeah.
Like the gameplay still feels good.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the thing is like Destiny's gameplay hasn't drastically changed even from Destiny 2 to 1. Like there's been some changes in TTK, but otherwise what it feels like to shoot, run and jump. Feels largely like Destiny 1, which is great because Destiny 1 gameplay, Destiny 2 gameplay, it's so good, right? Yeah. It hasn't had to change. But
The art's amazing.
Yeah, art's amazing, man.
I'm stoked it's launching alongside PC, too. So it's like I can play on whatever platform I want.
Which
the
is
X
cool.
is also getting the enhancements that release window.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, I'm anxious to hear the soundtrack and stuff, too. The trailer, which is not the Vault of Glass, for Osiris. He goes to a place that had the Vault of Glass like theme track.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was a piece of it. And they're like, well, it's not quite that actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm very excited to hear that the themes come back from Vault.
Mm.
So I don't know how much and if you heard any of that, but that plus just Mercury having its own, I assume, soundtrack. So I guess we'll see. So,
I think somebody did ask about that and they said, we hope. Like the soundtrack comes out, it's like
so
they're right there with us, guys. Oh, yeah. They hope has it too.
Yeah.
Somebody's probably working it.
I have something I want to ask you. You may or may not be able to answer. One of the things that stood out to me from the stream was the Infinite Forest. Looked very cool.
I didn't get to.
Okay, so you didn't get a chance to see that or whatever. Yeah. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah.
So then there was a comment that was made during the live stream.
I saw it during the campaign.
Okay, yeah.
So I can say that.
And that looks really cool. Somebody mentioned, visually art design-wise, looked amazing. There was a part during the live stream where they said that it is not procedurally generated.
Oh.
Which stood out to me. Yeah, I don't know if you caught that or not. So
it was kind of
what in Destiny is.
So that was the thing. I think a lot of times people were thinking about, you know, whatever that would be, if was that going to be like that. But they did kind of
because it's
like,
called Infinite, I think people were thinking maybe it.
Right, but they did kind of walk it back in a way and go, but having said that, there'll be a way to have a different encounter there almost all the time. So, like, I don't know what that really means.
It sounded to me like they just sort of had their different – they designed those infinite, like, paths that you run down and fight stuff. Mm. But they're designed and not going to change a bunch. But it sounds like maybe just things will drop in a little different maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. So,
or there's, like, randomized enemies and different pathways and stuff.
Yeah. We'll see. Destin probably knows and he's like, okay, well, anyway, let's move on, everybody.
You'll find out soon.
there you go.
Few final notes from the show. New Monarchy, yeah, let's go. Thank you.
We did
for not getting me that grenade launcher. Oh, my God. Iron Banner is a clash, so that's good to know. Clarion Call begins November 17th at 10 a.m. for double XP, meaning you can get a bunch of Bright Engrams right before Season 2. Try and get your full sets. I really like the Bright Engram sets.
Yeah.
And I have not spent a dime on the Destiny Bright
Engram. Optimacy gear, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, remember that the idea is that all this gear is going away, so now's the time to get it. So that's why they wanted to put this out there
apparently,
as part of it.
Showrunner or like some of the Covenant weapons. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a Vanguard SMG.
Yep.
And the last thing, CJ, you wanted to talk a little bit about the comments last week.
Yeah, I mean, comments seemed to be really positive. I think, you were not the only one who never got Icebreaker from Destiny 1, which was mind-boggling. Friend, you were not here. Sean revealed the fact that you'd never used Icebreakers. So
it's just a sniper.
He never had to worry about Vault way back then, apparently.
Yes, not. So there was a bunch of other people who actually said the same thing. Like, you know what? I never got Icebreaker. And I was like,
never got it.
I cannot believe.
You never had the infinite ammo sniper rifle? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I am aware that it exists and why it's good, but I just never got it.
But even thinking about back in the Crota raid, there was a glitch that basically allowed you to generate heavy so you could beat Crota. How did you do that
early on? Oh, he probably didn't do the glitch.
Yeah, doesn't know what we're talking
about. Wait, did you have to do that glitch with Icebreaker?
Yeah. No, you didn't
You could do it with anything. Yeah.
Well, you have to empty out all your...
It was the smartest way to do it because you'd run out of special ammo eventually, so you'd use your Icebreaker. But you didn't have to.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
It was the heavy ammo, but it's to generate heavy ammo, so you could just have infinite heavy, basically.
Yeah. The rooms in Crota. So the rooms in Crota, the two right and left sides, when you dropped it in the beginning, you kill those knights. There was a way that they were accidentally dropping heavy, ton of it every time, and you would just like recycle it to make sure.
I am aware of that glitch. I never did it, but I know like whenever we'd drop in, I said this before, but I didn't play Crota when it first came out because I had fallen off the game at that point, and I came back in House of Wolves. But when I did Crota in House of Wolves, I would only ever do it with. I'd never done the raid just for real. We would always glitch everything. But I wouldn't ask because they're like, we'll just do it real quick and they'll just
do it.
And
people would always show me and they would take too long. And I'm like, can we just do it normal?
Yeah.
You know, like, like you're not that good at this glitch. can we just do the normal thing? Because we'd be done already.
Oh, dude, that happened to us too. Where it was like, can we please just get it right? The heavy ammo's not our problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you start arguing, and someone's like, I got to go to the bathroom, and then you're like, great.
Then one of your raid team members falls asleep.
Yep.
Fair. Oh, yeah.
That happened to me.
I think I've been that guy, maybe.
Hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, and for the most part, I think, yeah, it was interesting. Maybe a lot of positives on account of us maybe giving away something. But no, I think it was interesting. Yeah, just to get some feedback. And definitely if you guys have any other things that we should talk about in the show. Yeah, we're at this point where I think a lot of people in the comments are feeling the same way. Very excited about the gameplay of Destiny 2 and think the game feels great. But yeah, not, you know, ready to go and spend, you know, hours and hours a week like they used to do in Destiny 1.
I played a bunch on PS4. It took me a little bit to get used to it again, but PvP was okay.
Yeah.
Just okay. I'm not going to like give it a glowing recommendation, but I was having fun.
Yeah.
I wasn't taking it too seriously. I was just kind
of
chilling.
But it's the meta. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I actually played with Duggan a couple times on PC during some trials, and it's weird to actually play PvP different. So PvE, I think, is a different game. Like you said, you feel not the difference that you feel playing PvP that you do PvE. Yeah. So yeah, it's just I'm still confused why that's the case.
That's what I think is really interesting is that and like James Duggan was just experiencing this too because he waited to play
on
PC.
Dude's playing a lot on PC, right?
Yeah, but he finally hit that point like we already have where you get through all the stuff, you collect everything, and you're like, wait, like I'm sort
what
of done
now.
Yeah, and he finally hit it. But I think it's really interesting that Curse of Osiris is it's less about. So much less about solving that. And so the most important thing is not being talked about is how are you adjusting the economy? And now are you going to introduce a few new weapons? Like maybe with the Dawning, there's a special Dawning shotgun and they change crucible. Like those things are what is going to change Destiny 2. And so no matter how fun Curse of Osiris may be or may not be, you're going to arrive at that end game potentially and be like, well, like meaning that. It's just a little more content to play, but the fixes are important. Why are you laughing at me, Dustin?
I'm not laughing at you. Do you think at the end of the campaign, it like fades to black, then Osiris is just like, bleep. Like he just lets an expletive out right at the end of the campaign, and that's his curse.
The curse
of Osiris.
Wow. I mean, you are tired.
Grand levels.
I'm tired a lot.
I like that he's creating this like joke narrative in his mind for like 30 seconds while I'm speaking, not listening to me very clearly.
No, I definitely was. You talked about a bunch of things.
The curse of Osiris.
Oh, wow.
The very end, he curses.
That was even Fran didn't even get your pun. That's how funny.
Next level, man.
All right. Sean, any final thoughts before I get out of here?
Yeah, wait.
I'm embarrassed now.
You should be.
No.
We're all as shocked as you are
right
now.
I do have to leave a note. I'm out next week. I'm visiting my family for Thanksgiving this year. So one of these gentlemen will most likely be hosting and producing the show.
I was planning on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight
it
for it.
I would like to
leave
see
a
us.
Comment below.
Like, we would like you to leave say, more so we all have an opportunity.
I'm sorry.
Oh, in advance.
Hurtful.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You guys know how to use Libsyn and everything, right?
No. Yeah.
Oh, boy. You just call me if you need help.
Great.
Call me, okay?
Have your phone on, Destin.
I will. That's all we have time for on this show. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody here, everybody listening. And until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.